Have you ever felt like you're suffocating in your own beliefs? That sensation, like wearing pants from middle school that technically still button but make breathing nearly impossible, signals something profound. Your soul has outgrown its container. This isn't spiritual failure. It's spiritual evolution. When someone says, "I'm spiritual but not religious," they're often saying something far more nuanced. "I've outgrown my God box and I'm currently looking for a bigger one." These aren't people who've abandoned meaning or justice. They've simply discovered their moral intuitions no longer fit the frameworks they inherited. Maybe they watched their church stay silent during injustice. Maybe they realized the prayers they memorized as children no longer reach whatever's beyond the ceiling. Here's the uncomfortable truth. All religion is small religion, including yours, including mine. A God our brains can fully comprehend or our buildings can completely contain simply isn't big enough to be God. When Paul prayed that believers might grasp Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, he acknowledged something radical. Mystery isn't a bug in faith, it's the essential feature. What if the most spiritually mature thing you could say is, "God, I cannot get my shit together"? After decades of a pastor, Pavlovitz realizes his entire journey could be summarized with that confession. Despite projecting certainty publicly, he's lived with persistent uncertainty privately. Now he embraces it, because intellectually honest religious people should experience imposter syndrome. This humility keeps us open to revising beliefs and showing kindness to fellow stumbling pilgrims. Our earliest stories about God's character determine whether we can love ourselves and others well. Growing up Catholic, Pavlovitz learned about a God who simultaneously loved him completely, yet whose anger lurked perpetually nearby. The adults around him never questioned this paradox. They simply lived it, and so did he. These inherited beliefs about whether God is fundamentally for us or against us become the foundation for everything else. Punitive religion creates terrified adults who struggle to love because they've never experienced unconditional love themselves. Despite decades of progressive evolution, Pavlovitz admits fear still whispers in his periphery, the worry he'll get it wrong, piss off God, and bear the full weight of his fury. Crisis reveals the chasm between declared beliefs and actual ones. The pandemic illustrated this perfectly. Christians singing about God's abundance on Sunday while hoarding toilet paper on Monday, claiming faith protects them while abandoning compassion for vulnerable neighbors. Organized Christianity often resembles a cult of sanctified sameness, lacking the diversity Jesus regularly hosted. Echo chambers reinforcing our rightness while shielding us from necessary interrogation. In his disorganized spirituality, far from institutional religion, faith becomes less intellectual decision and more emotional awareness. He holds his Christian label loosely now, describing himself as an asker with more questions, a seeker still looking. Everyone is playing hurt, carrying invisible burdens while trying to show up. Terry, a songwriter traumatized by religious rejection after being outed, told Pavlovitz, "Every day of my life, Christians preached a Jesus they absolutely refused to show me. If faith doesn't make you more compassionate toward others' pain, it's probably not made of God stuff." There's a crucial distinction between accidentally hurting others through clumsiness versus intentionally wounding them. While speaking truth doesn't guarantee positive reception, the key is keeping your heart as blameless as you can and avoiding cruelty in Jesus' name. We all bring story-shaped lenses to our understanding of God, creating personalized versions of Jesus that confirm our biases. Christians tend to imagine themselves as heroes in biblical stories, never the hypocrites Jesus condemns. People confidently claim to know God's specific intentions during tragedies, declaring hurricanes were intentional messages or suggesting God allows suffering because he knows you can handle it. Such interpretations make God seem abusive. Pavlovitz challenges theology portraying God as needing human persuasion, critiquing prayer as a spiritual GoFundMe campaign where gathering enough people moves God to action. Like the horror film where danger comes from inside the house, the greatest threats to American Christianity come from within. Our gendered conception of God damages the world. Growing up with God as male, God the Father, God the Man, God the He of He's, took Pavlovitz decades to deconstruct. This masculine conception justifies sexism and fuels violence against LGBTQ people. A single gendered God makes no sense for a being who is spirit, not body. If all humans are made in God's image, God must transcend gender. The Bible itself challenges this. God appears as nursing mother in Isaiah. David compares his relationship with God to a weaned child with its mother. Jesus likens himself to a hen gathering chicks. American Christianity has become dangerously entangled with nationalism, placing national identity above Christ's teachings. After tweeting that all children everywhere deserve equal care, Pavlovitz received hostile responses from both neo-Nazis and conservative Christians, an alarming convergence revealing shared territorialism. Many American Christians embrace a selective pro-life position, valuing American lives above others, contradicting Jesus' borderless compassion. This exclusionary behavior assumes whiteness, American identity, Republican politics, and heteronormativity as the moral baseline, allowing cruel discrimination to be justified as righteousness. A 15-year-old girl was expelled from her Christian school for posting a photo with a rainbow birthday cake. The rainbow, originally a biblical symbol of God's expansive love, has become something Christians rally against. If Christians truly believed being gay was sinful, they should maintain loving community rather than expelling those they claim need saving. Such exclusion creates unnecessary trauma for vulnerable teens desperately needing community. The phrase, "love the sinner, hate the sin," enables tremendous harm while claiming righteousness. This religious rite invention appears nowhere in Jesus' teachings, yet justifies excluding LGBTQ people and denying civil rights. True love requires accountability to how others experience our actions, not just our intentions. The countless emails Pavlovitz receives from LGBTQ individuals demonstrate the damage done by Christians claiming to love while causing profound suffering. After Pavlovitz argued the Bible never unequivocally declares homosexuality a sin, he received comments equating LGBTQ identities with sins like adultery and theft. This false equivalency between identity and harmful actions makes it impossible to truly love LGBTQ people while seeing them as morally flawed. Everyone cherry-picks scripture anyway, bringing their own prejudices to interpretation. When confronted with contradictory passages, like Leviticus condemning both homosexuality and disrespectful children to death, these Christians typically fall silent. Anger and love aren't opposites. Sometimes anger is love, a holy discontent driving action. This ferocity fueled civil rights movements and Jesus' table-flipping indignation. Christ-like love is fierce and bold, refusing to be tone-policed, confronting ugliness, driving believers from privilege into the trenches. After losing a 23-year-old family member despite countless prayers, Pavlovitz refuses to question God's character, simply acknowledging, "This sucks." He now sees prayer as unlocking empathy and building solidarity, not changing God's mind. He rejects the notion that global suffering is part of God's plan. Rather than decoding senseless tragedy, he finds God in human responses, helpers, healers, caregivers. Instead of seeking God's plan, he searches for God's presence in compassion. Nurses sleeping in hospital closets, teachers transforming curricula, musicians singing from balconies. Love is the only divine plan, and living it out is the greatest prayer. This transforms faith from transactional bargaining into embodied compassion. American Christianity has inverted Jesus' original movement. While early Christianity embodied humble resistance to Roman power, today's version often seeks dominance and control. Pavlovitz proposes a new church with one simple mission: don't be horrible to people. Instead of doctrinal statements, it would promise to treat people with dignity, avoid caricatures, protect others' rights, and let people tell their own stories. At a mountain retreat, Lewis and Maria drove 10 hours from New Mexico just to be in a room with people who get us, escaping the exhaustion of concealing themselves in their conservative hometown. Jesus' command to love enemies acknowledges we can have them. His warning against judging cautions against imagining ourselves as solely virtuous while demonizing others. Margaret, a 90-year-old Holocaust survivor, wrote noting disturbing parallels between her childhood under Hitler and contemporary American politics. At a Texas border church, Pavlovitz met Hector and his 6-year-old daughter Angelina, recently released from ICE custody. Despite language barriers, they connected through gestures and shared photos. For a few hours, Hector, Angelina, and I got to be Jesus to one another. This is faith's essence, showing up to help others feel seen and loved. The community of the convinced is forming, Christians alongside those uncomfortable in church, people of different traditions, doubters, and the non-religious, all speaking with one voice about human value and love without qualifiers. The skeptics, backsliders, and heretics are building the redemptive community the world needs.